Chapter 14, Part 1. The pathway on earth of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ draws to its close. He arrives at Bethany in the early evening of Sunday the 26th of April, which was 6 days before the Passover of the Jews, at which he laid down his life. The threefold significance attaching to the date of the 26th of April in AD 33 sheds a new and brilliant light upon Mary's act in anointing our Lord during the supper at Bethany. An outline of events in the four unreckoned days, the 26th to the 30th of April, between Mary's anointing of our Lord as the antitypical paschal lamb and the Passover of Jehovah, which he and his disciples kept on the night before the crucifixion, and our Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Monday the 27th of April, the 10th day of Nisan, AD 33. Read John chapter 12, Matthew 21 to chapter 26 verse 19, Mark 11 to chapter 14 verse 16, and Luke 19 verse 28 to chapter 22 verse 13. On the 30th of April, AD 33, the day before his death, the age of our Lord Jesus Christ was 32 solar years and 183 days, or 33 Bible years and 189 days. To follow our Lord Jesus Christ, that is, to be able to trace his steps during the last few days of his pathway on earth, with the accuracy now made possible by a correct understanding of the Scriptures, is a high and holy privilege, which may now be entered upon by all who love him sufficiently to be willing to apply their minds and their hearts in seeking to possess for themselves the true facts which have lain concealed beneath the surface of the divine records for 1,800 years. If ever there was a time when we should advisedly remove our shoes from off our feet, as did Moses and Joshua on certain occasions, it is when we are tracing out the holy footsteps of the Son of God, as he drew near to the supreme climax of his life on earth, in order to accomplish the redemption of the human race, as foretold in the Garden of Eden, at the time when, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Romans 5, verse 12. In this connection, we may say that we are about to set forth facts from Holy Scriptures which reveal a direct chronological relationship between events at the Bethany Supper and events in the Garden of Eden, as narrated in the third chapter of Genesis. Our Lord and his disciples left Jericho at the close of the Sabbath, which he had spent in the house of Zacchaeus. They arrived at Bethany, a distance of about 18 miles, in time for the evening meal on Sunday the 26th of April. We are wholly indebted to the Apostle John for this information, which is gleaned from his statement with which the 12th chapter opens. We read, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper." This reference to the 6 days before the Passover is of the utmost importance, as without it we would have no knowledge of when the Lord reached Bethany or when Mary anointed him. Matthew 26 and Mark 14, for the most excellent reason, place the Bethany supper just before the last Passover. Luke makes no mention of it. All All Bible statements on time are inclusive unless the wording or context indicates otherwise. Consequently, these 6 days before the Passover include the Sunday on which our Lord arrived at Bethany, the other 5 days being Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. This Friday was the day of the preparation for the Jews' Passover and the one in which our Lord was crucified. That John is referring to the Jews' Passover and not that of Jehovah, which the Lord took with his disciples on the previous evening, Thursday, is proved by his reference to it just previously in chapter 11, verse 55. The Bible, as we shall learn, had a very vital reason for making it absolutely clear to all that our blessed Lord, with his disciples, reached Bethany during the latter part of Sunday, the 26th of April, and that the supper at which Mary anointed him was on that day between the hours of 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. John, by his statement about the 6 days, lifts this point out of the realms of dispute, unless anyone is willing to deny that our Lord died on a Friday, to do which would be to deny one of the most patently clear and unqualified statements in the Bible. See Mark 15, verse 42, and John 19, verse 31. Before proceeding, we will ask our readers to turn to the chart of the 5 calendars and carefully note these 6 days, which are numbered in brackets after the solar month date. Starting with Sunday the 26th of April, which it will be seen and noted was the 10th day of the first month, Nisan, in the divine calendar, and the 9th day of the 7th month, Tishri, in the years as measured from our Lord's birth. Both these dates add an immense significance to the act of Mary in anointing our Lord. With his perfect knowledge of the pattern of time ordained for him by his God and Father, our Lord directed his steps to Bethany so as to be available there at that time and on that day, because it had a threefold chronological significance of such importance that it must be marked by an act which would be remembered and told out wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world. In John 12, verse 2, we read, "There they made him a supper." We shall not dwell at any length upon the details of the supper they made for our Lord at Bethany. The Bible gives us 3 accounts which must be read and pondered over. Matthew and Mark inform us that the supper took place in the house of Simon the leper. This fact, coupled with John's statement that they made him a supper, as well as his reference to the presence of Martha, Mary and Lazarus, imply that it was in the nature of a communal occasion arranged by several in Bethany, and that Simon's house was chosen because of its suitability for the purpose. Leprosy, being in the Bible a type of sin, it must have been part of the divine plan that the Lord's anointing for death at this momentous point of time should take place in the house of one who typifies a forgiven sinner. Doubtless the Lord had cleansed Simon, who probably was the leper mentioned in the first 3 Gospels as having been cleansed. It has been suggested with some reason that Matthew and Mark omit reference to Mary, Martha and Lazarus because they were living at the time when their Gospels were written, and because Lazarus had earned the hatred of the Jews as a result of his resurrection, which became the cause of many believing on Jesus. See John 12, verses 10 and 11. John's account of the anointing of our Lord Jesus Christ is as follows. In chapter 12, verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. Matthew and Mark refer to the fact that Mary poured the ointment on his head. This, with John's statement that she anointed the feet of Jesus, allows us to know that Mary anointed both his head and his feet. This is confirmed by our Lord's own words. She hath poured this ointment on my body. Matthew 26, verse 12. Very much has rightly been made of Mary's wholehearted and self-sacrificing devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ, as evidenced by the costliness of the spikenard she used with which to anoint him. We do not, however, hear so much about her high spiritual intelligence, which, in the light of the facts we are about to set forth, must have equalled her devotion. We do not know how often she sat, learner-wise, at Jesus' feet, but it must have been a frequent experience, as he so often visited Bethany and loved each member of Martha's household. See John 11, verse 5. It is not easy to assess the extent of Mary's understanding of the importance of the occasion and of the date on which she expended her sacrificial offering, but certain facts are quite clear. Let us examine these. We look at Mary's act of anointing our Lord, which took place in the divine calendar on the 10th day of the first month, the day when the paschal lambs were set apart for death at the Passover 4 days thereafter, that is, on the 14th day of the first month. See Exodus 12, verses 3 to 6, and also the calendar chart. John the Baptist had borne powerful witness to the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, that is, the anti-typical paschal lamb. See John 1, verse 29. This Mary knew right well. She also knew that the Lord had repeatedly announced that he was on the way to Jerusalem to suffer and die. Mark 10, 32 to 34. Like the 12 apostles, Mary also knew that the Lord would take the Passover on the day before the Jews took their Passover. See Matthew 26, verse 17. In the year AD 33, the Jews' Passover was on Friday the 1st of May. Therefore, Jehovah's Passover would be on Thursday the 30th of April, 4 days after the anointing. This was the date on which the Lord, at the close of the day, sat down with the 12 and took what is known as the Last Supper. As the Lord was now to fulfil the most vital aspect of his mission to earth, by taking his place as the anti-typical paschal lamb of God's providing, nothing in the universe was so important that someone in Israel, on the 10th day of the first month in the divine calendar, should set him apart as such for death on the 14th day thereof. Here was a divine requirement, and without doubt the Spirit of God, taking advantage of her devotion, moved Mary of Bethany to fulfil it by being the one in Israel to set the Lord apart for death as the Lamb of God, who 4 days hence would offer himself up to take away the sin of the world. and now a vital principle explained. As our theme is one of infinite solemnity and of measureless importance to all those whose eternal hopes rest on the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is greatly to be desired that all should comprehend the whole truth as set forth in Holy Scripture concerning these great events. We have just shown from the facts given in the Bible that Mary of Bethany, by her act of anointing our Lord, set him apart as the Paschal Lamb of God on the 10th day of the first month, our 26th of April. Exactly 4 days later, at the close of the 14th day of the first month, our 30th of April, at about 6 p.m. when the Passover lambs were slain, our Lord sat down with his 12 disciples to eat the Passover. If this type from Exodus 12 had been literally fulfilled, our Lord would have to die at the end of these 4 days, instead of partaking of the Passover supper with his disciples. It is absolutely essential to see that in principle, that is, in a figure, he did so die. Else how could he, in instituting the memorial supper, say to his disciples, "Take, eat, this is my body. This is my blood of the New Testament, the covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28. Our Lord's words implied that he had already been sacrificed as the antitypical Passover lamb. As this fact cannot be evaded, we must seek an explanation. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ was prefigured in all the sacrificial offerings of the Levitical economy, such as the Paschal offering, the burnt offering, the meal offering, the sin offering and the trespass offering, and so on. It will be manifest to all that, as our Lord could in the physical sense only die once, only one of these many prefigurements of his sacrificial death could have a literal fulfilment. This, as we will presently explain, was as the antitype of the sin offering, see Leviticus 4. For it was as such that our Lord actually died without the camp at 3 p.m. on Friday the 1st of May, A.D. 33. What then of the other typical sacrificial offerings? How were they fulfilled in the antitypical sense? Each of these, including the Paschal offering, which we are now considering, was fulfilled in a figurative sense by our Lord Jesus Christ offering himself to God as such, at the time and in the manner prescribed by the terms of the type as given in Holy Scripture. The fact that physical death did not take place with our Lord except as the antitype of the sin offering does not detract one iota from the value in God's sight of those offerings of himself, which were figurative fulfilments of other types, all of which preceded and were anticipative of his actual death on Calvary's tree. So now the anointing of our Lord by Mary of Bethany, which took place exactly 4 days of 1,000 years each from the fall of Adam, when the Lord God first made promise of a Redeemer in the Garden of Eden. See Genesis 3:15 and 2 Peter 3 verse 8. We have shown that Sunday the 26th of April A.D. 33, when the Lord was anointed during the Bethany supper, was the 10th day of the first month in the divine calendar. and that in accordance with the type, our Lord was then set apart for death as the antitypical paschal lamb at the end of 4 days, that is, the evening of the 14th day of the first month, our 30th of April. We have seen that figuratively he did die, and that he addressed his disciples as one who in reality had died. Little though we may be able to enter into it because of our ignorance of God's ways, we must at least remember that the Apostle Paul enunciated a divine principle when he stated that God calleth those things which be not as though they were. Romans 4, verse 17. In the summary of facts, paragraph 16, we give particulars of the 6,000 years which form the chronology of redemption. This series of years, which runs right through the Bible and will terminate with the setting up of the kingdom, began on the day after the fall of Adam, when God made promise of the coming one who would redeem our race. We have mentioned frequently that the 4 days in every redemption year during which the Passover lambs were in keeping, namely the 10th to the 14th days of the first month, are a type of the 4,000 years between the fall of Adam and the death, in a figure, of our Lord as the antitypical paschal lamb. It is a solemn yet wondrous fact that in the chronology of redemption, 4,000 years had elapsed from the fall of Adam to the day and the hour when the supper at Bethany took place, and when Mary anointed our Lord and set him apart for death as the antitypical paschal lamb 4 literal days thereafter. These 4,000 years in redemption chronology must end on the 10th day of the first month, as the following 4 days in all such years were unreckoned and formed no part of the year. In effect, this meant that the end of the 10th day, when the lambs were set apart, and the end of the 14th day, when they were sacrificed, were viewed as the same point of time. Hence, it is true to say that the 4,000 years of redemption terminated both at the time of Mary's anointing and 4 days later at the hour of 6 p.m. when our Lord figuratively died as the antitypical paschal lamb. Now it is in order to demonstrate that time is not reckoned by God between Mary's anointing of our Lord and the last Passover supper, at which in a figure he died, and that Matthew 26 and Mark 14 both record the anointing as if it took place immediately before the last Passover, when in fact, as John reveals, it took place a full 4 days previously. In our former treatise, we show that the Bible reveals with undeniable clarity that in the chronology of redemption, there were 2,000 years from Adam to the birth of Abraham, and 2,000 years from Abraham to the 26th of April, AD 33, making a total of 4,000 years. The latter 2,000 years were divided as follows. From Abraham to the Exodus, 500 years. From the Exodus to the dedication of Solomon's temple, 500 years. From the dedication of Solomon's temple to Nehemiah's return to rebuild Jerusalem, 500 years. And from Nehemiah's return to rebuild Jerusalem to the 26th of April, AD 33, 500 years. We have said enough to show that the Bethany Supper witnessed the termination of this immensely important predetermined era of 4,000 years between the fall of Adam and the presentation of himself for death by our Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, who in deep humility allows himself to be set apart as such by Mary's anointing of his body, on the 10th day of the first month according to the type, and 4 days before his death. What a confirmation this fact receives in Mark's quotation of our Lord's reference to Mary's act, which is as follows. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Chapter 14, verse 8. This statement envisages a future purpose, namely the Lord's death after 4 days. We can but call attention to the deep significance to be found in the fact that it was a woman who was chosen of God to set the Lord apart for death as our Redeemer at the end of these 4,000 years, which began with the act of another woman, Eve, who being deceived was in the transgression, which involved our whole race in ruin, and made the coming of a Redeemer our one and only hope of salvation and restoration. No wonder our Lord commanded that Mary's act should be recounted wherever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world for a memorial of her. Matthew 26, verse 13. And now, Sunday the 26th of April, A.D. 33, between the hours of 3 p.m. and 6 p.m, was also the opening of the Day of Atonement in the calendar based upon our Lord's personal chronology as measured from his birth. We must now briefly refer to this third chronological marking of the Bethany Supper and Mary's act of anointing our Lord. If reference is made to the chart of the five calendars, it will be seen that the 26th of April was the 9th day of the 7th month in our Lord's years as measured from his birth. In Leviticus 23, verses 26 to 32, we are informed that the Day of Atonement began at the even of the 9th day of the 7th month and continued until the even of the 10th day. And note that even in each Bible day began at 3 p.m. and lasted until 6 p.m. or sundown. It is therefore clear that the 3 hours, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m, during which the Bethany Supper took place, was the opening of the Day of Atonement in the calendar of our Lord's years as measured from his birth. This being so, it becomes self-evident that our Lord must then have presented himself before God as the antitype of the offerings of the Day of Atonement, as set forth in Leviticus chapter 16. In other words, we have here another solemn expression of our Lord dying in a figure, both as the sin offering and the burnt offering on the Day of Atonement. This fact sheds yet further light on the significance of Mary's act. It was not a question here of her anticipating our Lord's death 4 days hence, but of viewing him as having already died as the antitype of the sacrificial offering of the Day of Atonement. That this was so is made perfectly clear from the statements recorded both in Matthew and John, uttered by our Lord Jesus Christ in defence of Mary's act, when she is ignorantly accused of wanton waste by Judas and others. In the Matthew record, our Lord says, "In that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." Chapter 26, verse 12. The Greek word translated burial signifies embalming. In John's record, we find these words: Let her alone, against, literally unto, the day of my burying, literally embalming. Hath she kept this? In chapter 12, verse 7. And compare the Septuagint translation of Genesis 50, verse 2. Let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Let her alone, unto the day of my embalming hath she kept this. Both of these statements exclude the thought of anticipative action, such as is indicated by Mark in the use of the word aforehand, and fix our attention on the fact that the Lord viewed Mary's act as the embalming of a dead body. That is, Jesus viewed himself as having died in a figure, as the antitype both of the sin offering and the burnt offering on the Day of Atonement. The importance of this aspect of Mary's act, no one but the Lord himself can estimate. If these antitypes had not been fulfilled, they would have had to remain unfulfilled forever. But as it is, they were fulfilled in a figurative sense on the appointed Day of Atonement, and as such, they were accepted by God the Father, who had foreplanned this occasion in its every detail. We have yet to set forth one further chronological marking of the day when Mary anointed our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the 26th of April, AD 33, which was 1,300 days from the 5th of October, AD 29, when our Lord was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. By now, all will have realized the tremendous importance of the apparently simple words with which John 12 opens. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. We have already seen that the day referred to by John in this statement has both a spiritual and a chronological significance almost unequalled in the whole Bible. There is yet a fourth marking which is of profound and solemn interest, because it embraces the whole period of our Lord's public life from his baptism. In chapter 4 of this treatise, when writing on the Saviour's baptism, we pointed out that it was separated by exactly 1,300 days from his anointing by Mary of Bethany on the 26th of April, AD 33. What is so wonderful to behold in this design is that both at the beginning and the end of these 1,300 days was a day of atonement. Our Lord, as we have shown from the scriptures, was baptized by John on Israel's Day of Atonement in AD 29, our 5th of October, and their 10th day of the 7th month. The anointing by Mary we have just revealed was also at the opening of the Day of Atonement in our Lord's personal years. The number 13 is indelibly associated with atonement because it stands out in the Bible as the symbol of sin and rebellion against God. That which, apart from atonement, must lead to the eternal banishment of the sinner from God. The number 13 marks Christ and his work wherever he is seen as the sinner's substitute, as accomplishing atonement for sin. We point out in chapter 4 that the numerical value of our Lord's names in the Old Testament, Jehovah, Adonai, Ha Elohim and Messiah, all have 13 as their main factor. What is more remarkable still is that the name given to our Lord in his humiliation, and which in mockery formed part of Pilate's superscription on the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, has a numerical value of 2197, which is 13 times 13 times 13. By this design, God intends to convey to man that our Lord, in order to redeem us, had to be numbered with the transgressors. The application of the number 13 to the sinless Son of God is therefore the proof of his absolute identification with our fallen race. Only by being our kinsman could he be our Redeemer. Leviticus 25:48-49, Galatians 4:4-5, and Hebrews 2:14. But not only is 13 associated with man viewed as a rebel against God, it is also associated with Satan, both as the instigator of man's rebellion and as the expression of his own rebellion, as described in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. The Greek word translated "called the devil and Satan" in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, have a numerical value of 2197, which, like that of Jesus of Nazareth, is composed of 13 times 13 times 13. The serpent of brass which Moses lifted up is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ as the one whom God made to be sin for us, in order that he might, through death, destroy the devil in whom sin originated. Ezekiel 28:15-16. And by whose lies Eve, the mother of all living, was deceived and led into the transgression. See Numbers 21:9, John 3:14, and Hebrews 2:14-15. Without developing this extremely solemn theme any further, it will be appreciated from what we have stated that it was none other than God himself who designed that the whole pathway of our Lord in his public life, from his baptism, which in one aspect was itself an act of identification with our sinful race, to his being set aside for death as the antitype of the paschal offering, should cover a period of 1,300 days, in order to express the fact that throughout this period he had taken the place of being our kinsman, thus identifying himself with all in us, which finds its symbolism in the number 13. We may mention before passing on that the whole 47 days, 7 plus 40, from our Lord's baptism to his emergence from the 40 days of temptation, are separated by exactly 1,300 days from the 47 days which began with the anointing by Mary of Bethany, and ended with the ascension into heaven. Thus the 40 days of temptation were separated by exactly 1,300 days from the 40 days of our Lord's resurrection ministry. It is tabulated thus. In AD 29 there were 47 days, October the 5th to October the 12th, 7 days. October the 12th to November the 21st, 40 days, a total of 47 days. In AD 33 there were 47 days, the 26th to the 27th of April in the evening, to the 3rd and 4th of May at midnight, 7 days. From the 3rd to the 4th of May at midnight, to the 13th of June in the morning, 40 days, a total of 47 days, and these were separated by 1,300 days. It is when we behold a design such as these 1,300 days, linking the beginning of our Lord's public life with the end, that we realise the infallible accuracy with which it pleased God to record in the Scriptures the pattern of time by which the pathway of our Lord Jesus Christ on the earth was regulated. Could anyone possibly doubt the accuracy of the dates we have given from the Scriptures? Let it be understood that if one date were in error, the whole plan would be vitiated, because it would disjoint every other date. All rests upon the one great fact that our blessed Lord and Master was born of the Virgin Mary into this world on Friday the 29th of October, 1 BC, which was the starting date of the 30 years of Luke chapter 3, verse 23. May all Christendom take account of this fact and cease any longer to honour a date, the 25th of December, which has no connection whatsoever with our Lord Jesus Christ, but which has a very direct connection with heathenism.